Bibles with me to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to challenge you. Make sure you tell your neighbor, your cat, the mouse, the dog. Make sure they're here on Sunday because I'm going to be teaching called a new series. It's in addition to what we're teaching now called It's All Jesus. But this portion of it is going to be called A Revelation of Redemption. So make sure that you're here. Amen. You do not want to miss this. Amen. It's going to be powerful. Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to have you guys preach this thing with me, okay? Because we'll make sure we get it in your spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name for your anointing tonight. Habakkuk chapter 2. In Jesus' name, let's look at verse 4. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Look what it says here. On the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by what? His faith. Whose faith? Whose faith? Amen. That means you need your own personal faith. Amen. Amen. Now, we want to turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Well, Pastor, we heard this before. We'll see about that. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. When you get this, somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Take some of the bass out of my voice, Brother Jason. Some of the bass out. Amen. You there? That's better. Amen. Count of three, let's read. Matter of fact, let's read verse 16 and 17. Count of three. 1, 2, 3. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? My God. Okay, now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'm going to bring something out right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. This is very important because people say, well, I heard this before. Well, amen. Faith gets results. Tell your neighbor that. Say, faith gets results. Not just natural results, but faith will get supernatural results. Amen. Faith will get supernatural results. Amen. You and I are supernatural beings. We were created to live a supernatural life. Amen. You're not just a mere man or a mere woman. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 7 here. On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We do what? We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, so Habakkuk said that the just shall live by his faith. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I need my own personal faith. My own personal faith. I can't survive off the pastor's faith. I can't even survive off my husband's faith or my wife's faith. Amen. I can't survive off the TV preacher's faith. Amen. I need my own personal faith. Amen. Amen. And then here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, we walk by faith. Tell your neighbor, say, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the Greek word walk there is the Greek word peripatio, which means to trample underfoot a pathway until that pathway becomes so familiar with you that you could do it with your eyes closed. Are you catching what I'm saying? So the Bible tells us to live by faith, and it tells us to walk by faith. You can actually say this right here, that we should have a habitual lifestyle of faith. Faith should be a lifestyle, a habit. Amen. It's something that we do all the time. We don't just use our faith just to believe God for a pair of socks. We don't just use our faith to believe God for a car. Amen. We should be using our faith. Our faith, Pastor Healy taught us a week ago that our faith should always be on the attack. Amen. I had a friend by the name of Larry Jackson. He owns a paving company, Jackson & Son Asphalt and Paving. And he talked about how that he always has to put his faith on something. Something tangible so that he can keep exercising his faith. Now, every day I get up and I say my confessions that, you know, that I exercise, or I have a regimented exercise pattern that I live by. Amen. And that I eat those things that are healthy. to my body, amen. Why? Because there's been some challenges, amen. Because sometimes you let yourself get out of control. You need to get yourself back in order. But amen, the reason why I keep confessing and saying those things out of my mouth is because the more I hear it, the more faith I develop to accomplish what I'm hearing. Are you catching what I'm saying? Amen. Now turn to the book of Joshua chapter 1. We're going somewhere with this, because I'm about to give you a statement that's going to bless you tonight. Joshua chapter 1. This is very important. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Amen. Verse 8. You ready? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your what? Your mouth. But thou shalt meditate. Somebody say meditate. Day and night, that you may observe or see to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. One translation says that you and I will be able to deal wisely in all of our affairs of life. But he starts it off saying that it should not depart out of our mouth. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to tell you this right here. Your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. I want you to write this down. This is very important. Your faith, it'll never rise above the level of your personal confession. Amen. Now, here's something that you have to do, because it's one thing for you to take the confessions that I've given you or the confessions that somebody else have, and then you begin to confess those. But the problem with that is this right here, is that you have to have ownership of your confession. It's nothing wrong with confessing somebody else's confessions, amen, because you can build and develop faith by confessing somebody else's confessions. But what you need to do is you need to take those scriptures and you need to dissect them for yourself, amen, and get a revelation of them for yourself. Because when the storm comes, the only thing that's going to make you last is your personal faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Your personal faith. Now, you can come to church and you can get into an environment of faith where there's a corporate anointing here, and you have that environment of faith around you, then all of a sudden you feel big and you feel strong. But then when you go home, amen, if you haven't took those scriptures and appropriated them for yourself and developed your own personal faith, not what you heard somebody preach, amen, not somebody's tapes that you listen to, amen, you got to take them off the tape, get them off the CD, get them off the paper, and get them in your heart. So your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. That means if you're not confessing the word daily, you're not hearing the word the way that you need to, because Sunday and Wednesday won't cut it. Come on, somebody say amen. Sunday and Wednesday won't cut it. Now, let me just say something to you right here. Take your name and say, neighbor, I live by faith. Faith is my habitual lifestyle. Okay, so if I live by faith and I walk by faith and it's my habitual lifestyle, what is faith? Here you go. Turn to Hebrews 11. And you already know it, but we're just going to sink it down in your spirit tonight. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Well, Pastor, I got faith. Okay, then we should be having some results then. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You ready? It says, now, faith is the what? Substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. One translation said it's the title or the deed of what you hope for. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now let's go down to verse 6. Look what it says here. But without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. I want you to circle the word please there. It's impossible to please God. The word please here doesn't mean that we gratify God. The word please means we agree with God. I want you to write agree next to please. Without faith, it's impossible to agree with God. Without faith, it's impossible to agree with God. Now watch this right here. The word confession, somebody say confession. It's the Greek word homologio, and it literally means to agree with or to say together with the same thing or say what God says. Well, it's impossible to agree with God without faith. Now, faith is the substance of things that you and I hope for. It's the evidence of things that we do not see. That means that we are living in a realm where everything is seen, and people judge you and people measure you in life by what they see naturally. But you have to remember that God told the king, God told Samuel, he said, man looks on the outward, but I look on the inward. So everything that God is doing starts off in the inner man before it manifests in the outer man. Are you catching what I'm saying? So you can't be a person that is moved by what you see out here in the natural. You live by faith. Come on, say, I live by faith. Now, in the times that we live in right now, you're going to need to understand faith more and more. You're going to need to have faith more and more, because the things that we depend on and the things that we trust in, the people that we trust, the Bible said, cursed is the man that puts his trust in the arm of the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't put your trust in no man. You can't put your trust in no job. You can't sit there and plan 10 years of your life based upon a job, because there's no promise tomorrow that that job will be there. So if the job stops, guess what? You still have faith. And it's God's covenant with you, and it's your covenant right that God will take care of you because of your faith. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why you got to live by faith. You can't decide to get faith when everything starts smacking you upside the head and some wrong happens in your life. Then you want to build your faith up. It's a lifestyle, peripatio. You got to trample this thing underfoot until you can do it with your eyes closed. Are you catching what I'm saying? Now, faith or your confession or your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. But this is powerful right here. Your confession will never rise above the level of the condition of your heart. This is powerful. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Hey, neighbor, say, neighbor, my faith gets me results. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. This is powerful. Here's an example before I read this right here. To the degree or the amount of gas that you put in your car would determine how far you go in that car. Catch what I'm about to say here. That car could be a Bentley. It could be a Mercedes-Benz. It could be a Pinto. It could be a Chrysler 300. It could be any kind of car that you desire. Amen. Within that Bentley or that Rolls Royce is the potential to accomplish great things. The manufacturer made it. Amen. It has great potential within it. But that car can't fulfill its potential without gasoline being in it. So just like that car needs gasoline to get to its destination, you need faith to get to your destination. Let's reverse it. God made you. Within you is all the potential in the world to accomplish great things. But to the degree of your faith, will you accomplish your potential? What does potential mean? It's just something that's a possibility. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It means that it can happen. Faith is the determining factor by which the things that you are able to do or the potential that you have happens. Are you catching what I'm saying? So, because you are a believer, you have to be fed God's word on a consistent basis so that your faith level can increase and grow. Are you catching what I'm saying? Now, watch this right here. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33, it said, make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. The tree is known by his what? Now you got to know, he's not talking about a tree. He's talking about people. Generation of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? It's powerful. He's asking a question. There is a question mark there. He is saying, how can a person that is evil speak good things? It's impossible, because guess what? The situation that you're in will reveal what's in your heart. No matter how many smiles you got on your face, no matter who you're around, amen, eventually you'll have to take the mask off. Because whatever is in your heart in an abundance will eventually come out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying this right here. He's saying, how can you, being evil, speaking of the condition of your heart, speak good things? Now watch this. Your faith will never rise past the level of your confession. Your confession is what's coming out of your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth, according to Proverbs chapter 18, will either produce death or will produce life. Are you catching that? Let's just turn this so you can see it. We keep your finger right here on Matthew chapter 12. Then you say, neighbor, my faith produces personal results for me. Proverbs chapter 18. When you get there, I want you to see it, because it's one thing to hear a preacher preach it, but you need to see it for yourself. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. You ready? Look at this right here. It says a man's belly, somebody say belly, shall be what? Satisfied with the fruit of his. Now, you need to understand something right here. When it's talking about your belly, it's talking about your appetite. It's talking about your desires. It's talking about the cravings, the things that you want in life. Amen. You'll only get satisfaction by these things, by what comes out of your what? Now look at verse 21. Death and are in the power of what? And they that love it, what? Death or life shall eat the fruit thereof. Now I'm going to say something. You are where you are based upon what you've been saying. So that means, watch this. That means that if you want to change where you are, all you got to do is change what you're saying. Now let's go back to the condition of our heart. Because guess what? How can you, being evil, speak good stuff? Let's go back to that right quick. You ready? And we're not saying that nobody in here is evil. I'm just trying to show you that what's in your heart is what's going to come out your mouth. Amen? Whatever's in your heart. That's why he tells you to meditate. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. That means you got to chew on it. You got to chew on God's word. Chew on God's word. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Your natural circumstance is completely against every single thing that you're believing God for. So how do I get my believing bigger than what I'm seeing? I got to meditate. That's the power of meditating God's word. The more you meditate on negative things, the bigger the negative things get. The more you meditate on God's word, the bigger your God gets. Are you catching what I'm saying? The bigger his promises get for you. Amen. This is powerful right here. It says, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the what? The what? The mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 35, a good man out of the good what? Treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. Circle the word treasure there. The word treasure could be translated deposit. Out of the good deposit. Now, just like you have a bank account, how many people got a bank account? Amen. If you put $5 in, you can't withdraw $7.50 out, right? Out of the deposit, you can do what? Withdraw. The Bible is telling you here, out of the good deposit of your heart. That means whatever you put in your heart. Now tell yourself, say, my heart is my own personal garden. Amen. You know, just like gardens have weeds in them, gardens have bugs in them. And you know what I mean? Pests, and sometimes a rabbit will come up and chew your leaves off of there. Amen. When I was a kid, my grandmother, my shirt tail grandmother, had a little box with a stick on it. And a rabbit would run up in it, grab some and knock the stick over. And we catch the rabbit, cut his feet off, and hang him on the chain. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Am I the only person that ever ate rabbit before? How about raccoon? You ever skinned a raccoon before? You ever skinned a squirrel before? Amen. You better live by faith. You better live by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Out of the good treasure of a man's heart bringeth forth good things, and of an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things. Now, so here's what it is. Everything that is happening out here is a product of what's in. Come on. Everything in my life, say that. Everything in my life that's happening out here is a product of what's in here. Now, you need to know the word heart is not talking about your spirit. And we kind of messed that up in Word of Faith teaching, because we'll tell people you can believe in your heart. Amen. And you can doubt in your head. But the word heart literally means your intellect. It's your thinking. It's your thinking. So what is God telling us? Maybe this could be the reason. Watch this. Maybe this could be the reason why we're not getting the prayer results that we're looking for. Because we're waiting for something to manifest that we believe is happening in our heart. But really the problem is in our head. Okay. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I got taught it too, y'all. So I got to make sure I got to clear it up. Amen. Anytime you see the word heart, it's the Greek word cardia. It means the thinking. Amen. The thinking is where you suppose. It's your intellect. Amen. It's the part of you that rationalizes and reasons. Amen. So the way you change that is by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I'm not going to go there right quick, but I just want to show you this right here. 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, that men shall what? They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, look at verse 37. For by thy thou shalt be justified, by thy thou shalt be condemned. I was just telling my lovely partner in life, my wife, that, you know what I mean, we got to get the right words and get in agreement with God's word. So we got to get the right words, which is God's word, and get in agreement with it. Amen. Because the place of agreement is the place of, it's the place of what? If you want power in your life, you got to find somebody that can agree with you. Amen. Based upon God's word, Matthew 18, 18 and 19 tells us, wherever two of us together touch and agree, we can have whatever it is, because he's right there in the midst, right there with us. Amen. Amen. The Bible also says in Amos 3 and 3, how can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. That means it's impossible to walk with God if you're in disagreement with God. Well, Pastor, I thought the word said that he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. Yeah, he will never leave you and never forsake you. But guess what? You'll constantly go through that same thing that you're in disagreement with God about until you get on the same page with God. Tell your neighbor, say, get on the same page. My God. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, so he's telling us that out of the good deposit of whatever we put into our heart is our own personal garden, amen? Our mind, out of that good deposit, we're going to bring forth good things. But if there's a bad deposit in there, we're going to bring forth bad things, amen? So we don't have, listen, this thing is set up where we can't blame nobody, amen? I tell you guys this, I became a man at 32 years old. That's when I stopped blaming Pastor Healy and everybody else for my whereabouts in life, at 32. Now, some people say you become a man at 18. No, you become a man when you start accepting responsibility for your own actions. Amen. That's the same thing Adam did. Adam stood up and said, the woman you gave me. So some people say, well, he blamed the woman. No, he blamed God. He said, the woman you gave me. Amen. They'd be like, if I give you a car and then you go down the street and you drive the car and you hit somebody, and I say, how did you tear that car? You say, you the one gave me the car. Come on, somebody say amen. So we're still playing the blaming game. So watch this right here. You and I are where we are because of us. Life is choice driven. Amen. I know some people done hurt you. People done hurt me. People done said stuff about you. People done said stuff about me. Amen. But guess what? God has set this up where nobody can stop you but you. Nobody can stop you but you. The Bible said you will be declared righteous by your words, or you will be judged or condemned by your words. And a lot of people think it's saying, when it's saying judgment day, they think it's talking about judgment day when we stand before God. Every day is judgment for you. Every day is judgment for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever situation you're in right now, that situation is judging you. And you got to learn how to master that thing. How do you master it? By saying what God says, no matter what it looks like. Because guess what? You live by what? So what you going to do when ain't no food in the cabinets? You going to say, you know what? The Bible says, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by the anointed one, Jesus. But here's the problem right here. Can I be real? Somebody say, praise the Lord. We know how to praise God, and we know how to serve God, and we know how to use our faith when we don't have nothing. But as soon as God give us something, we turn our back on the God that gave it to us. Come on, somebody say amen. This is important. You got to learn how to be consistent. Somebody say consistent. Consistent. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about the heart for a minute. Can we deal with the heart for a minute, y'all? Is that all right? Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Turn it right quick. Genesis 6 and 5. Your neighbor says it's about to get good in here. Genesis 6 and 5. Amen. I'm going to go back to verse 20. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, somebody say the sons of God, they saw the daughters of men, and they thought they were fair, they were good looking, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now watch this. We see the wickedness in the earth, right? Everybody see it in the earth? Now watch this right here. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his what? Was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now watch this. I'm trying to show you something. Everything that we saw happening that was wicked, that was an outward manifestation, it proceeded where? From the heart. It came from the heart. So that means that if we can get the heart right, we can get everything else right. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Okay, so your heart is your own personal garden. Amen. You can make a decision right now and say, you know what, I'm going to be rich right now. I made that decision. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Come on, somebody say amen. And guess what? It doesn't matter what I got in my pocket. Matter of fact, what do I got in my pocket right now? Amen. I got a bank envelope, but amen, there's nothing in the bank envelope because somebody gave it to me with a phone number. But it doesn't matter how much money is in my pocket. It matters how much faith is in my heart. Because eventually, we saw right here in Genesis chapter 6, whatever is in the heart eventually will manifest out here in the natural. Man, that was good, man. I tell you, I could just stop and go home right now. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's validate that. Proverbs 4 and 23. Turn there. Proverbs 4 and 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. Y'all learning something tonight? They didn't even say, neighbor, get your heart right. Get your heart right. Proverbs 4 and 23. Now, I'm going to be real with you. You never know what's in your heart until the buttons are pushed the right way in your life. When those buttons are pushed, your heart gonna speak. Amen. You know what I mean? And guess what? He might push your buttons in anger. He might push somebody else's buttons in lust. He might push your buttons in stealing. I don't know what your buttons are. Amen. But whatever is in your heart, when that button is pushed, it's gonna come out. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I was telling the young men today, that's why you gotta have principles. Somebody say principles. Policies and guidelines that you live by. You got to fortify your mind with parameters and boundaries that keep you. Are you catching what I'm saying? Because the enemy is always going to try to push your buttons. Come on, somebody say amen, because he know what your weaknesses are. See, he know if you a cusser. He know if you cuss folk out. Now, you could be in church with your hands raised talking about, grab me in your arm. Grab me in your heart. But then somebody cut you off, you be like, bleep you. Amen. Now, where did that bleep you come from, Brother John? It came from the heart, didn't it? It was there all the time. It didn't come from no outside source and get into your head. No, it was in you. The whole time it was in your heart. Amen. That's good teaching, Pastor Claude. Proverbs 4 and 23. Look at this right here. On the count of three, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Keep thy with all, for out of it are the... It's telling you that out of your heart flows the issues of life. One translation said the springs of life. Another translation says the boundaries of life. So the boundaries that we set don't come by what we see out here. It come by what we see in here. Are you catching what I'm saying? So if you could take the limits off in your heart, you could take the limits off in your life. Are you catching that right there? So just like Genesis chapter 6, we saw that wickedness covered the whole face of the earth because evil was continually in the heart of man. So if I get righteousness in my heart, it's just a matter of time before righteousness manifests in the earth. If I get blessing in my heart, it's just a matter of time before blessing manifests in the earth. Are you catching what I'm saying? If I get love in my heart, it's just a matter of time before love manifests in the earth. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 13, and then verse 18. How many want your life to be better than what it is right now? Come on, everybody, come on, raise your hands up high. How many can deal with a little bit more love in your heart? A little bit more healing in your body? A little bit more finances in your bank, amen? A better house, you know, whatever it is, amen? Do you know that I proved to you last week that this church was in heaven before it came here? After it came from heaven, it was in my heart. I allowed that seed to get in my heart. And then I began to talk about it. God called me to be a pastor. God called me to be a pastor. You catch what I'm saying here? And it was in my heart in an abundance. Now, guess what? When storms and tribulations and trials come, I wouldn't be able to withstand them if it wasn't in my heart. If I just did it based upon somebody else's revelation, there's no way I would be able to stand the test. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because it's so easy. Listen, it is so easy to look at your life and say, why am I going through this? Why is this happening in my life? You know what I mean? I'm trying to stand on the word and this faith thing ain't working for me. Amen. You cannot say that faith doesn't work for you. How could you say that faith doesn't work for you when the Bible says that you live by faith? It's the source of your life. Come on, somebody say amen. We done turned it into a cliche for church. I heard Pastor Bill Winston said that this thing is not a word of faith thing. This is a Christian thing. If we are Christians, we ought to live by faith. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:13. You ready? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. We having the same spirit of, according as it is written, I what? And therefore have I what? We also what? And therefore we what? We speak. Now, hold verse 18 because I want to go somewhere, okay? Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Okay, we're dealing with two things, believing and speaking. Somebody say believing and speaking. Now we're going to see where believing happens at. Let's look at verse 8. When you get to somebody say praise the Lord. I tell you, man, there's some good stuff right here. This right here has helped me be the person that I am right now. Amen. It's taking me to the next level. It says, but what saith it? Verse 8. The word is where? Where is it at? Near you where? Where is it at? Where is it at? Now let me just stop right here. It's saying it's near you, but it's in your where? Where is it at? It's where? Where should the word be? Joshua 1:8 said, don't let the word depart from your what? The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. You God is saying something about this mouth here. So don't be complaining about if nothing happened in your life and you ain't allowing the word to be in your mouth. I'm going to say it again. Don't be complaining that ain't nothing changing or happening in your life and you're not allowing the word to be in your mouth. Now watch this right here. And in thy what? That is the word of what? Which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm not going to preach on that because that's a whole message there. Watch this. Verse 10. Never forget this verse. For with the man do what? Stop right there. With the heart man does what? With the heart man does what? Believe unto what? Now the word righteous there is translated in English language as equitable or equity. It actually means equality or fair. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay? That means that everything in God's word, you got to believe it in your heart. You got to believe who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you're able to do in Christ. Let's back up. If you don't know who you are in Christ, amen, you're believing something else. If you don't know what you have in Christ, you're believing something else. If you don't know what you're able to do in Christ, you're believing something else. So it's up to you to know your covenant rights. See, I just talked to somebody and I signed a contract a year ago. And I didn't carefully read the covenant. And because I didn't read the covenant, I didn't realize that when I don't follow what is going on inside the covenant, there's a penalty for me. And I kept wondering why I kept paying. And it seemed like it wasn't going nowhere. Because I didn't read the fine print that only a certain percentage goes to the finished price when I don't keep the covenant. See, you can't get mad at God if you don't know your covenant. I'm going to say it again. You can't get mad at God if you don't know your covenant rights. Again, you can't know what another pastor said or another preacher said. Our job is to preach something that will develop faith in you for you to study your covenant for yourself. So you got to know who you are in Christ. And you got to stand on it and confess that thing every single day until it's concrete, until it's anchored in your spirit, like Pastor Hilly said, until you are persuaded, till you have a firm conviction of what you heard and what you believe. That's when the word is going to work for you. When the storm comes and you stand up in the bow of the boat and say, you know what? The faith on the inside of me is bigger than what I'm going through. You got to catch what I'm saying. It's bigger than whatever it is I'm going through right now. Because guess what? I'm not looking at what I see. I'm looking at God's word, which is eternal. My God. Now look at this right here. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth what? Confession is made. The word confession, homologio, it means to say what God says. Now, I want you to just do an evaluation right quick. Don't tell me about it. Just think about it. What are you going through right now, and what is coming out of your mouth? Come on, somebody say amen. Now, the Bible said we live by faith. We walk by faith. We peripatio. We trample it underfoot until we can close our eyes and we live this lifestyle. Catch what I'm about to say here. God's word has to get up off these pages of this book and get into your heart. Amen. How many ever watched Bruce Lee before? I used to love Bruce Lee. I used to love Bruce Lee back in the day. You know what I mean? Anyhow, but I used to love Bruce Lee back in the day. Wouldn't it have been funny if Bruce Lee was teaching somebody? Watch this right here. Wouldn't it have been funny if Bruce Lee was teaching somebody? He said, okay, now I'm going to teach you how to do a double thrust kick. You ready? Hold up a minute. Double thrust kick. Double thrust kick. Oh, okay. Now, you ready? Double thrust kick. And he showed him how to do it. You wouldn't let him teach you, would you? I'm trying to give you a point right here. The word has to get into your heart. And you hear what I'm saying? If you don't get it off the pages into your mouth, it won't get into your heart. If you don't meditate it and think on it and talk about it, amen? I was meditating Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, and the Lord gave me a whole month of messages out of one scripture. And I was meditating, and it just blessed my socks off, amen? I kept saying it over and over again for about 4 hours straight. I was driving down the street coming back, and I kept saying it. You know what I mean? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God that teaches you how to profit. Amen. And shows you the way that you should go, the path that you should walk in. And I kept meditating over and over and over and over. And that word Redeemer jumped out to me. And the Holy Ghost said to me, he said, now I'm going to teach you about redemption. I'm like, Lord, I already know about redemption. I'm the one taught about the old goat, get up. He said, no, I'm going to show you something else about redemption. So you better be here Sunday to get it. But I'm trying to show you something. You have to meditate the word for yourself. Amen. You got to chew it for yourself. Amen. Because this, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the days of us just coming to church. And I say this every service. Days of us coming to church, they're over. We are the church. We are the church. We got to be what the word says we are. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. You back there? I mean, 4 and 18. Look at that. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Say, neighbor, say, neighbor, I live by faith. Count of three, let's all read it when you get there. You there? One, two, three. While we look not at the things which are... Stop right there. This is how I do it. What are you going through right now? Can you see what you're going through right now? It's right in front of you, ain't it? What did the Bible tell you to do? Don't look at it. Don't give it no attention. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, because all the devil want to do is distract you. If he can get your attention off of the unseen, he can have you pecking like a chicken in the seen realm all the time. Now write this little statement down. The dreamers are the saviors of the world. So you got to decide if you're going to be a savior of the world. What is a dreamer? It's a person that has the ability to see what's not seen out here. Joseph was a dreamer. And that dream fortified him throughout prison time, being sold to the Chaldeans, being lied on by Potiphar's wife until he became the prime minister of Egypt. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Look at this right here. But at the things which are, for the things which are seen are what? Circle the word temporal. It means that they're subject to change. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know if you know this, but I know what you're going through. Might seem like it's very big to you, but it's changeable. It's changeable. Can I say something to y'all? Have you ever believed God and you went through a test? And this is my life. It's just so funny. You go through a test, and while you're going through that test, Your heart is screaming all kind of stuff. God, why? God, why? When I was immature, I would take that thought. And I'd be like, man. And all of a sudden, somebody come around me, and all of a sudden, I start talking about that thought. And all of a sudden, God delivered me, even though I was negative. And when he delivered me, I'm praising him. And then he said, but you didn't pass the test. You got to hear what I'm saying. So now you got to go through that same test again. And that test revisits you again. And them same things pop up in your heart. God want to see if you're going to take that thought by saying that thought. I'm gonna say something powerful to you. I finally got to the place in my life where when the trial is coming and the war is being waged against me, that I keep my mouth. Lord, put a guard on the door of my mouth that I don't speak against the favor of God that's working right now. Because I'm seeing something in the Word of God, and it's becoming so big to me that it doesn't matter what I'm seeing in the natural. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, your circumstance is changeable. It's changeable. It's changeable. It's changeable. My God. Amen. Can y'all stand two more scriptures? Of course you can. Am I helping somebody tonight? It's just good old solid word teaching. Amen. It's good word teaching because, you know, maybe we should just say, you know what? We live by faith, and go study the word and get you some more faith so you can live. And just everybody go, amen. This is important because we done made it a cliche in church. Oh, I live by faith. I walk by faith. Well, when you're going through the storm, what's on the inside? Amen. Here we go right here. Praise God in heaven. Let's look at back at our Proverbs 4 and 20. Proverbs 4 and 20 now. We went to 23, but let's look at Proverbs 4 and 20. He's going to tell you exactly what I've been telling you all night. You ready? He said, my son, if you're a woman in here, say my daughter. He said, attend to my words. Attend. Now, you remember when you was in school and the teacher did the roll call and she took attendance? You remember that? And when you were there because you knew she took attendance or he took attendance. But the person that wasn't there, they checked them off as what? Absent or maybe tardy. Amen. Don't be absent in attending to God's word. Don't even be tardy in attending to God's word. I'm saying something powerful to you. He's telling you to attend to the word. Incline your ear unto my saying. That means lean in. Sometimes when I go different places, like, and I hear Creflo teaching, or I hear Bill Winston teaching, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm inclining my ear. A lot of people want to recline. They want to sit back in their lazy boy of faith. Amen. And just recline. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait till he's done talking. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that if you're inclining, you'll be able to withstand whatever it is you're going through. And you'll have the ability to produce. If you're reclining, amen, you're going to keep running around that same bush in life all the time. Amen. Look what he's saying here. Let them not depart from your what? Your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your what? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God's word is life. Come on, say that with me. Say, God's word is life. Say it one more time. Say, God's word is life. God's word is health. I'm trying to tell you something, man. God's word is medicine, the book of Proverbs says. It's medicine. Just like you take medicine. I'm not telling you to stop taking the medicine the doctor prescribed to you, but you know what? Daily you should take medicine. Every single day. Daily you should incline your ear. Can I just be real, y'all? The world paints such an image to us of that we can't or we don't have time to spend with God or time to meditate the word. We don't have time to do this. But do you know what? That right there is the spirit of Pharaoh. I'm going to tell you something real powerful. The spirit of Pharaoh. Can I give y'all a scripture you probably never ever seen before in your life? You ready for it? You tell him, say, neighbor, I got time. So you just got to put your foot down. Turn to Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to bless you. Exodus 5 and 9. I know I said two scriptures. You got to get it in your eyes. You got to keep it in your heart. Amen. Because they're life and they're health. Amen. Now, let's do the Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. It's just powerful right here. Let's look at verse 9. Ready? On the count of three, let's read it together. That way you guys can underline it. You can circle it. Amen. For yourself. Amen. So you can see that I'm not just preaching. It's there for yourself. Verse 9. Count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. Let there be more work laid upon the men that they may what? And let them regard not what? Now let me show you what was happening here. Moses had the word of God. And Moses, God told him to deliver the children of Israel. So his job was to go, his assignment was to go and to tell Pharaoh. Somebody say Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. His job was to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he gave him a specific instruction. He said, tell them, let my people go so they can worship me in the wilderness. That they can pay homage to me in the wilderness. Okay? So why the wilderness? Because in the wilderness, there's no curling irons. Every day is almost a bad hair day. In the wilderness, there's no microwave. You can't just get a hot pocket and throw it in for 30 seconds and satisfy yourself. In the wilderness, amen, ain't no gas stations. You run out, you got to walk. Amen. But in the wilderness is the place where you develop faith. It's the place where everything is dry. But the Bible said he'll cause streams to flow in the wasteland. And he'll make a way in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where you can see God on a supernatural level. And you can start living according to supernatural terms. The wilderness was the prerequisite to Canaan land. There was no Canaan land without the wilderness. Because the qualifications of getting into Canaan land was faith and identity. You had to have those two things. You had to be a believer of what God said and you had to believe in who you were. My God. So the wilderness was a place that stripped them of their own worldly dependence. So Pharaoh, Moses got an assignment to go and say, let my people go that they might serve me or worship me in the wilderness. Now watch this right here. All hell came against them from hearing Moses' words. I'm telling you something powerful. All hell is going to come against you to stop you from hearing God's word. You got to hear what I'm saying. All your circumstances are not going to be favorable for you to hear God's word. You got to set your mind like flint that I'm going to walk and live by faith. That I don't care how blessed I get. I don't care if I get a $1 million contract and it's coming in Jesus' name. I don't care if I get a $1 million contract. Guess what? I'm still going to serve in the local church. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, certain people, they get blessed and then they think that their tithe is their excuse to not hear the word. Amen. I just showed it to you in the Bible. It's there. See, it's there. It's there. See, now watch this. You ready? What do we live by? Now watch this. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to end real fast. I just want to give you this. Romans chapter 10. Turn it right quick. Verse 17. My page is all ripped up. Amen. That's good. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. So then, faith cometh by... Stop right there. Faith comes by what? Faith comes by what? Comes by what? And hearing by what? So no word, no hearing. No hearing, no faith. You catch that process right there. No word, no hearing. Your hearing is opened up by God's word. No hearing, no faith. It says faith comes. I like to say it like this. When God's word is revealed to you, within that word that he reveals is the faith to bring itself to pass. I'm going to say that again. When God's word is revealed to you, within that word revealed is the faith to bring itself to pass. So how important is hearing the word of God? Amen. Now back up. Back up just one more. Back up. Look at verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Okay, now, let me just paint a picture for you. Circle the word saved. It don't mean dying and going to heaven. It's not what it means. It don't mean somebody coming to say, when the last time you got saved? No, you didn't get saved. You got born again. They didn't say, I got born again. Salvation is a process. And I'll have to teach on that sometime, but you got born again, and we jumble them up together. Salvation is a package that works and it's effective right now here on earth. We got born again. We became new creatures in Christ Jesus. We obtained salvation. Amen. But it's a process, us walking through it. Peter says the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. So our faith continues to work and continues to work until we obtain the full inheritance of salvation. You understand what I'm saying here? Now, the word saved there is the Greek word sozo, which means to be made whole, to be made complete, to be preserved or kept. Amen. To be healed and to operate under the ministry of the ministering angels. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation? So salvation or being saved literally means that you are made whole right now, right here on this earth. Doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Doesn't mean you got your plane ticket to heaven. It doesn't mean that. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, watch what it's saying here. It says, whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not? And how shall they hear without a what? How shall they hear without a what? So guess what? Just like Moses, the devil going to try to keep you away from your preacher. Come on, somebody say amen. The devil going to try to keep you away from your preacher. Amen. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Now, here's the powerful thing about it. Amen. You could be the preacher of your own life. Now, I'm not telling you not to disqualify pastors. But you should get to the place in your life where when you come here and you hear me preach something, it becomes a confirmation to you. Amen. A confirmation. Why? Because you've been meditating the word all week long. And when you walk through these doors, you're excited. Amen. You're pulling and drawing on the anointing. You ain't coming here to get something. Amen. You're like, oh, God, I just made it through the door. Lord, have mercy. I need somebody to touch me. Lay hands on me. Slap me with some olive oil. Slap me with some Crisco. Somebody hit me with something. I need something from God. Amen. You don't want to be that kind of person. You want to be the kind of person that when you're at home, you already got what you need. And when you come here, you're looking to get a confirmation so you can take the next step of faith that God has for you. Amen. So you should be confessing the word all by your lonesome at home in your own prayer closet. Amen. So that those things that you do in secret, God can reveal them and shout them from the rooftop. Amen. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to have our own personal faith. So when you come here and hear me preach, you just say, amen, pastor. That's why we say amen, because you believe what I'm saying or you agree with what I'm saying. But if you ain't been meditating the word, it ain't amen. It's ouch or shut up. That's what it is. Amen. See, nobody said amen. 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 I believe I'm done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm not done. Turn to Psalm 91. I just want to give it to you. I'm going to give you two more scriptures and I promise I'm done. Because I want to make sure the heart is right. Somebody say the heart is right. And he said, neighbor, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth creates. The mouth creates. The mouth creates. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I got to make sure what is in my heart, I want to see created. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because whatever is in your heart in an abundance is going to come out of your mouth and you're going to create it. Amen. Job said this. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. This is powerful. You can attract to you. It's the law of attraction. If you just think that everybody's against you and everybody's mean and you're never going to be nothing in life, guess what? Nobody else has to do nothing to you because you already did it to you. Amen. I was telling Minister Gerard, Pastor Gerard today, I said, you ever seen that person get up and sing and they can't sing worth a quarter? But they so confident that you start believing, man, they sound pretty good. Amen. Because they believe it. Then that just settles it. Amen. Y'all catching what I'm saying? You see that person just dance and they just goofy with it? Legs off, you know. No disrespect, y'all. You know what I'm saying? You know, Lisa and brother got a little bit of swagger sometimes. You know what I mean? But I see some people dance and they be like. Like they're having convulsions and stuff, you know what I mean? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And guess what? You know what I mean? Pretty soon everybody else start dancing like that. Y'all ever seen that movie, Teen Wolf? You remember he started doing that goofy stuff? I know that's kind of old. I'm throwback, though. That's all right. Everybody else looking at him all goofy, then pretty soon they start doing it. Man. Psalms 9 and 1. I'm just trying to tell you something. If you're confident and you believe it yourself, guess what? Don't matter what anybody else believes. Amen. Psalm 9 and 1. You know what? I'm not going to go there. Go to Romans chapter 4 and I'm done. I promise. I'm not going to go there. Romans chapter 4. I'm just trying to be led by the Spirit, John. Romans chapter 4. Tell your neighbor's a neighbor. With God. All things. How many things? How many things? All things are possible. All things are possible. All things. What is that you going through right now? Amen. It's possible. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4. This is powerful. We're going to end with this right here. I promise you, we're going to end with this right here. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, faith is your access to the grace of God. Now, Romans chapter 5 says this right here. Through faith, we have access into the grace of God, wherein we stand rejoicing in expectation of the glory of God. Okay? So faith accesses grace. Grace will produce glory. Okay? Now, let's back up. Glory is what you're believing for. Glory is the sum total of all that God is in you, to you, and through you. Amen? Do you know when you're blessed, it gives glory to God? When you're healed, it gives glory to God? Amen. Why do we say glory to God? If our bodies are sick and we're saying glory to God, we're not really giving glory to God. You got to hear what I'm saying here. What I'm trying to say is that some people think that it gives glory to God when they're sick because they're suffering for God. But you don't suffer for God in that way. God does not punish you in that way. Now, you know what I mean? Now, the enemy might try to. Amen. Now, I'm telling you stuff, you know, like for me, for my own self. You know what I mean? I've been confessing the word, confessing the word, confessing the word. Like the last 14 days, we've been on this fast for 21 days. And I've been eating stuff like rabbit food, leaves and carrots. Amen. And I've been having tremendous gas. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm talking about for real. I'm telling you, you start eating vegetables, boy, you Rudy Toot too. I'm telling you, amen. Amen. I was driving that van down there, boy, and that gas was coming out. I had the window up and the AC was gone. I was just over there laughing. My wife was like, "You're disgusting. Roll the window down. Get out and let that out in the rest area." Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all didn't know men of God pass gas, right? Amen. You know the Pope used to ride around in that bubble, and he looked all clean and rich, but you know what? Can you imagine him farting in that bubble? We're just trying to teach the word, Brother Tony. That's all, man. Just making it, you know, the Pope farting in a bubble. Amen. Amen. So your faith accesses grace. Grace is the power of God. Grace ain't just an umbrella to forgive you of what you've done wrong. It's God's power. It's God's ability. Amen. It's the infusion of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that causes you to be the bigger man or the bigger woman. The grace of God. Amen. We translate it favor sometimes. It's like you put your hand to something and somebody else put their hand to it, but your results far outweigh theirs and exceed theirs. Why? Because you got grace with you. Come on, somebody say amen. You got favor with you. So your faith accesses the grace. So we're going somewhere with this. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Tell your neighbors and neighbor. We are the seed of Abraham. Not seeds, because you and I are in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 says that Christ is the seed. We are in Christ, therefore we're heirs. Watch this. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now watch this. Verse 17. I want you to think about your impossibilities. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth things that be not as though they were. He calls things that be not as though they were. He calls things that be not as though they were. He doesn't look at the circumstances and start calling what he sees. The doctor said, I got this. The doctor said, I got that. No, 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 no. And when people say, my arthritis, my HIV, my cold. They don't belong to you. Come on, somebody say amen. They don't belong to you. And we're going somewhere with this right here. Now watch this right here. It says, he calls things that be not as though they were, who against hope believe in hope, that he might be become the father of many nations according to that which was what? Spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now you can take this and tie it in your own life. What has God spoken to you? Amen. You have the ability to call things that be not as though they were. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at your situation, because your faith will access grace, and your grace will produce God's glory in your life. Look at verse 19. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, I'm trying to show you something right here. I know some people taught you that this Bible is just some type of figurative language, but this is literal language. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was about 100 years old. Her womb was dead, but yet God said, you are the father of many nations. Come on, somebody say amen. He said, you are the father of many. So he took an impossible situation, and he said, look here, this thing that seems impossible with man is possible with God. Now, you need to know that Abraham was called by God in Genesis chapter 12 at the age of 75 years old. So it took 25 years before the promise manifested. That's what the word says, through faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. Okay? Faith and patience. Faith. Get God's word on the inside of you and get it to you where you believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it. And then patient means consistent endurance, constant endurance. That means no matter what the storm, no matter what the weather, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what your mama say, what your daddy say, no matter what sometimes the preachers say, no matter what this one say, you're standing on what God said. Now watch what it says here. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. 21. Being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Now, how do you get fully persuaded? You got to get the wrong stuff out of your heart so you can be fully persuaded. You got to get the wrong stuff out of your heart so you can be fully persuaded. And guess what? It ain't even a chore to get wrong stuff in your heart. You can go outside, amen. You could turn on the television and wrong stuff will get deposited in your heart. But it's a chore to get the right stuff in your heart. Tell your neighbor, I'm fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God is able. Just say that 3 times. God is able. God is able. God is able. God's ability is released based upon our faith. You remember what Pastor Hilly said, and this is powerful. Smith Wigglesworth said it. He said that God will jump over 1 million people just to get to one person that can touch him through faith. I'm going to say something to you. How many got some needs in your life? You got some needs? Remember this statement right here. God is not moved by your need. He's moved by your faith. We're moved by need. We'll see a person starving, and we want to meet the need. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. You know, I'm having to learn this myself, and I'm closing with this right here. I know I closed 7 times, but I'm closing with this right here. Are you learning something tonight for real? You learning something? Give the Lord a hand clap. I know we teaching, but I'm learning this right here because I want to meet everybody's need. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me during this fast, and he said, son, I want you to take this one and set this one down, and set this one down, and set this one down. I said, why? He said, because you are their God. He said, and as long as they're trusting you, they'll never trust me. You got to catch what I'm saying. This is powerful. God is not moved by need. He's moved by faith. He's moved by faith. And the just shall live by his faith. So you got to have your own faith. You can't have my faith. I can't have your faith. You got to have your own faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to tell you that, you know, my God. Can I just give one more scripture? Can I give one more? I'm sorry. I know this is probably your first time. Amen. We're going to shove it in your head. Shove it in your head. Amen. We're going to give it. Just one more. Look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm sorry. This your friend right here, Pastor Rosie? That's my wife. Amen. Don't you look good? Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch this. Mark chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 22. It says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in. Now the actual accurate language is have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? He calls things that be not as though they were. If you read the book of Isaiah, he talks about stuff like, he said, I have decreed the end from the beginning. See, and the Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 5 to imitate God like a little child imitates his father. So you got to get to the place where you decree your end from the very beginning. I'm going to say it again. You got to get to the place where you decree your end from the very beginning. Don't decree what you think is your end. Decree what he thinks is your end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get it in your mouth. Get the promises of God in your mouth and start saying them. I'd rather shoot up to a number 10 and hit a number 5 than to shoot a number 2 and hit another 1. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So decree the end from the beginning. Now look at this right here. He says, verily I say unto you that whosoever, circle whosoever. Whosoever mean black, white, skinny, fat, good looking, ugly, Japanese, Chinese, Hispanic, hot dogs, macaroni, tacos, green beans, fatback. It don't matter what background you come from, say whosoever. See, that just get rid of all the limitations. Whosoever shall what? Whosoever shall what? Whosoever shall what? See, don't be complaining if you ain't saying nothing. Matter of fact, if you complaining, you are saying something. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you about to find out. You can have what you say. Watch this. Whosoever shall say unto this what? Do you got any mountains in your life? He didn't tell you to climb the mountain. Going up the rough side. Remember that? Of the mountain. He ain't tell you to climb the mountain. He ain't tell you to grab a shovel and start sticking your foot in the dirt to dig the mountain up. He said, do what? He said, talk to your mountain. Watch this. Then he told you to tell it, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not do what? Doubt where? Doubt where? Now we're gluing it all back together. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 12? Out of the abundance of the mouth what? Out of the abundance of the what? The mouth what? See, if it's wrong stuff in your heart, wrong stuff going to come out your mouth. Can't blame nobody. Get the wrong stuff. The Bible said the pure in heart shall see God. Do you want to see God in your situation? See, we ain't just talking about seeing him one day. I'm talking about, do you want to see him in your marriage? Do you want to see him in your body? You want to see him in your finances? Want to see him in your business? Come on, somebody say, I want God to show up. Do you want to see him? Well, if you want to see him, the Bible says you got to be what? Pure in heart. David said, create in me a clean heart. Renewing me a what? A right spirit. See, I don't know your heart. You know your heart. You don't know my heart. I know my heart. I could tell my wife and paint a picture to her what she can think my heart is. But guess what? Ultimately, when I lay down and I meditate at night, God knows what's in my heart. If it's good, if it's evil. See, I can fool you and you can fool me. But amen, all things are naked and open in the sight of God. That means whatever is in your heart in an abundance, you might not say it in church on Sunday. But baby, what are you saying when you're in the bathroom and the bill collector keep calling you? What are you saying out of your mouth when you're in that pressure of life? What are you saying when you get that negative report? Whose report will you believe? So you got to get to the place where you believe. I feel the anointing. You got to believe the report of God. Because guess what? You got to catch this right here. Whatever promised land that God has initiated and promised for you and has put in covenant for you, it belongs to you. Can't nobody else have it. The only person can stop it is you. You yourself, all by yourself. What is coming out of your mouth? What is coming out of your heart? Amen. It ain't the pastor's fault. It ain't your neighbor's fault. It's what's on the inside of you. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. The Bible said, don't doubt in your heart. Tell him, he said, don't doubt in your heart. That means don't be double-minded. Don't be fighting against God, the word doubt means. It means to be divided by speaking. God is saying one thing, and then you're saying something else. Whatever God say, you say. Amen. Glory be to God. We're talking about the God who slung the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence with the words of his mouth. If he said it, that means it settles it. Numbers chapter 19 says this right here. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God is incapable of lying. That means if he promised something to you, guess what? Maybe it's not him and the promise that's the problem. Maybe it's something on the inside of my heart that's causing the problem. And I need to uproot some things and get them out of my heart because I want to see God. And I realize that I got to be pure in heart if I'm going to see God in that situation. You can stand to your feet. My time is up. I thank you for yours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to Jesus.